All right, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Does anybody know the definition of insanity? What's that? Expecting different results. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. You know, one thing that this nation needs to learn is you absolutely have to learn from history or you are destined to repeat it. Do you know what this year is? 2024? Anything else? It's an election year. Do you remember what they did to us last time they had an election? They filled the airways with fear, 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 fear. They threatened people with their jobs. They threatened people with everything they could think of over a virus that you had a 99.5% chance of surviving. Now look, they already got their new virus. It's already in the works. They're going to do everything they can do to shut the election down. When the COVID came out, I told you if the blood of Jesus could not protect you from the COVID bug, how is it going to protect you from the gates of hell? Take these communion elements, hold them up before your eyes, and look at them. The body of Jesus. Say this out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. The body of Jesus was beaten and bruised for my transgressions and my iniquities. That sinless body took stripes on his back so I could be healed. That sinless body was pierced and he shed his blood for my salvation, for the forgiveness of my sins. That burnt body took the full wrath of God's fiery judgment upon himself. The judgment that was meant for me, he took upon himself. So I'm taking of this broken body for my healing. This shed blood of Jesus washed away all of my sins. The shed blood of Jesus protects me from all diseases. I will not fear. This new X virus that the devil came up with. God protects me from all the devil's works. Thank you. I don't care what any politician says. I don't care what any movie actor says. I don't even care what mama says. Do not fall for the devil's trick. Don't do it. If they tell you anything about taking a vaccine for this virus X or whatever they're calling it now, to know you're talking to the hand. I don't care how they try to bribe you. I don't care how they try to scare you. I don't care how they try to threaten you. Stay away from it. Don't even get tested for it. Just stay away. If they threaten you with your job, let them fire you. It's better than dying. And then you will get your retribution later. It is against the law, right? To fire somebody because they don't want to take an injection, that's against the law, isn't it? Don't let the devil push you around. And just so they know in advance, we won't be closing church. All right. Open your Bibles up to Genesis chapter 39. And we're going to talk about faith. You know, the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3 verse 11 tells us that the righteous shall live by faith. There's a lot of emphasis on the just living by faith. There's a lot of pressure put on a lot of people in some circles to operate in faith, and they somehow get this idea that they got to have this super faith. So then they focus on faith, and they get so preoccupied with their own faith that they just really can't operate much in faith. They have a struggle. But the thing about faith is trust. And the thing about trust is knowledge. See, if you know somebody, like if somebody comes and tells me that when Pete wakes up in the morning, he's going to go drink two or three Red Bulls before he goes to his computer. I'm going to say, no, I know Pete. What he's going to do when he gets up in the morning, get a cup of coffee that big. That's what he's going to do. Now, Butch, he's kind of a squirrel. I don't know. He might have two or three Red Bulls before he gets rolling. I don't know. I don't know Butch's morning routine, but I know Pete. Why? Because I spent time in his presence. You know Pete?
No, I drink coffee.
Oh. But the thing is, when you spend time in somebody's presence, you're going to know their routines and you're going to know their habits and you're going to know the truth about them. So when somebody comes up and tells you something wrong about them, you're going to say, no. No, that's not right. See, people will believe almost anything about God. Somebody can tell them something completely wrong. Somebody can tell people a complete lie about God. They'll buy it hook, line, and sinker. They'll say, okay, that's the way it is. Here's the thing, and it's a dangerous thing in the church circle, and it's gossip, and it's a dangerous poison to society. What happens too often is somebody will come up and say, did you hear what so-and-so did? And they'll say, oh my God. And then they'll go to their friend and say, did you hear what so-and-so did? But they won't go ask so-and-so what happened. You see how dangerous that is? Somebody could tell you almost anything about somebody, and unless you go ask that other person what happened, you're not going to know only less than half of the story. I remember one time we had a big blow up in the oil field, and it was bad. It was crazy. So I started calling guys in to start trying to find out what was going on. So the first guy came in, and my boss was there. And so he told me his story, and he threw the racism card out there. And my boss got all up in arms and said, we're not going to have racism at all. I said, okay. I told the guy, just go home and relax. And he said, why did you send him home? I said, oh, he just needs to go cool off for a little bit. And I called the other guy in. He came in and told me his side of the story. And it was different. They both had two different stories, and my boss was still mad. And I said, now wait a minute. There was one other guy that wasn't directly involved. He was the bystander. So we need to hear his side of the story. So he came in and told me what actually happened. And then we got to the bottom of it. One thing I found out early on in being a preacher is there's always three or four sides to every story. And I found out this dealing with couples because they would just want me to pick a side. Like I was going to get somebody in the divorce or some weird thing like that. I don't know. It's like they want me to pick a side, you know, and I'd say, well, now wait a minute. No, not until I hear everybody's story. You know, I want to hear his story. I want to hear her story. I want to hear the story he's not telling, and I want to hear the story she's not telling. When you get to all four of those, then you can start coming up with some conclusive answers. But until you get all four of those, guess what you need to do? Just stay neutral. But the thing about understanding faith is understanding Jesus, knowing him personally. The cool thing about in Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 20, Joseph, he had come out of he was in a bad situation, but he had come out of a really horrible situation. I mean, he had gotten basically kidnapped. His brothers sold him into slavery. He ended up in a foreign land without any contacts. He didn't have anybody that he knew. He really didn't have any prospects. Didn't have any money. He really didn't have anything going for himself. Other than this, Joseph considered himself a successful man because God was with him. See, the Bible tells us that God, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Do we really have a revelation of that? I mean, honestly, right now, to where you got to make a choice between being allowed to go somewhere or not. You remember when they were trying to do the COVID passports? People had to make a choice. If they wanted to go on a vacation, they had to get a COVID passport. Here was the worst. This was the most, one of the most demonic things ever. You want to see your brand new grandbaby in the hospital? Needle up, baby. That was one of the most horrible things that ever happened. Ever. Ever. And you know why it happened? Because people let it happen. The amount of people that didn't stand up was shocking. The amount of people, the amount of churches that closed down was shocking and horrifying. And I wondered, do you really know God? Do you really know the Constitution? Just stop and put all your faith in God. Now sometimes, man, people were put into some horrible choices and they didn't know what else to do. And they did it. But God, know this, God is not mad at you. He's on your side 100%. And with the Holy Communion, He'll take away the evil effects of any vaccine that we may have had. Amen. Don't do it again. But look at what happened here in Genesis chapter 39. Verse 1. Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And he said, lie with, and she said, lie with me. Now here's the thing. Joseph got put on equal terms with the Pharaoh. I mean, he had the signet ring. Whatever he said, it was just like the king saying it. And everything that he did seemed to prosper. And see, when you're in that kind of favor with the king, you have that kind of protection too. But don't ever let your guard down. Don't let your guard down. That's why we take communion every Sunday. We do it every Sunday. So we don't let our guard down. See, it's when you're cruising in life and everything is smooth and everything is good and you're on the mountaintop, you know, and you can shout hallelujah pretty easy. You know, that's when you get a little bit, maybe a little bit lackadaisical. You know, maybe a little bit careless. Remember, Jesus turned down all of the temptations that the devil threw at him. And the Bible tells us that the devil left him for a season. He didn't leave him forever. He left him for a season. See, that rat, he's going to keep on lurking around out there in the shadows. He's going to wait for that special time when you get a little bit sleepy. Maybe you're not paying attention. Maybe you get just a little bit careless, and then he's going to slip some kind of a trap in there for you. That's just exactly what happened here to Joseph, except one thing. Joseph was not asleep. He said, came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. She said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither has he kept anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Now then, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her. She kept tempting him and tempting him, and he kept not paying attention to her. No matter what she threw at him, he kept ignoring her. No matter what the devil tried, he kept ignoring the devil. That's all we got to do. Ignore the devil. Cast your eyes upon Jesus and ignore the devil. The devil, the Bible tells us that the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I mean, he's out there and he's got to try to make some noise. He's been defanged. He has no teeth. But the one thing that he really is a master of is striking fear in people, getting them afraid. He knows that if he can get you into fear, he can get you into doubt and then into unbelief. He knows that if he can get you into fear, he can get you out there into no man's land and get you in trouble. Fear, doubt, and unbelief are three hideous horsemen that you need to watch out for. See, it's one thing to get into an atmosphere of faith and hear the Word of God and believe it and say, I got it, it's mine. You know, God's going to protect me. I've got the communion. I know this. It's mine. But you're only in here for a couple hours a week. Did you notice that? The rest of the time, you're out there. Now, the devil doesn't really have much room to shout in here, but he shouts out there. So, one thing Jesus told us to do is to take heed what you're hearing. I mean, pay attention to what you're listening to. See, if you will tune your ears into the Word of God, you know, when you're at home, you can get all kinds of different messages. You can get, there's all kinds of resources. We can hear the Word of Faith. You know, you can listen to it 24/7. You can hear it all the time. You can hear the Word of Faith. You can meditate on the Word of God. You can be hearing the Word of Faith. And that's what's going to build in your heart. You can also listen to the Word of Fear. You can listen to the mainstream media. You can turn the news on. Listen to how, you know, we're all going to be wiped out in 2 years if we don't, if this virus hits, it's going to be like a tsunami. You know, you ever consider how much time they talk about us dying? Do you ever think about how much time the mainstream media spends trying to convince us that we're all toast? It's a lot. But you know what? If you sat there and listened to that, and listened to that over and over and over again, you're gonna have yourself convinced that you're toast. I know some people that they just have given up. They said, "We're done." I said, "We're not done. God says we've got a good future. We're going to live a long life and proclaim the name of the Lord. We're not done." But if you listen to the wrong information, remember Jesus said, "Take heed what you hear." That means pay attention to what you're listening to. If you're listening to the wrong stuff, you're going to have wrong results. Now, let's get back down here to verse 10. It says, "It came to pass as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. She caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got himself out of there." He left everything. He wasn't going to fall for the trap. He left everything. Sometimes you may have to leave something behind to stay out of the snare of the devil. Not everything is worth having. Did you know that? There's some things that we like to have, but it's not always worth having. So he left his garment. She called unto the men of her house and spoke unto them, saying, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me. And I cried with a loud voice, and it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid upon his garment by her until his Lord came home. She spoke unto him according to those words, saying, 'The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out.' And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke unto him, saying, 'After this manner did thy servant to me,' that his wrath was kindled. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison." Now, remember we talked about the gossip thing, the one side of the story? You realize when you take half of the information or less than half of the information that you really need to have to form and to make a decent opinion, if you take less than half of that information and go about spreading that, you can destroy somebody's life. Right there, Joseph went from being equal with the king to prison because of a lie. Somebody lied about him, and the person that received that lie believed it without asking Joseph what happened. See why it's so important to not take half of the story and run with it? It is so important when you hear something about somebody to consider the source, consider the person. And it wouldn't hurt to go to that person and say, this is what I heard. I don't believe it, but this is what I heard. You know, chances are you'll hear a whole other story. It's important to gather information before you start talking. It's very important. Well, verse 21 says, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now Joseph, he was on top. He was on top of the ladder. And one lie sent him to prison, but he didn't say, oh, woe is me. He, you know, that, remember that song on Hee Haw? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. There's too many people singing that song in real life. There's too many church people singing that song. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. I can still hear the fat guy saying, whoa. But there's people living like that. We have a great God, a great Heavenly Father. We have a Bible. We have Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We have a high priest. His name is Jesus. And he's on our side. He ever lives to make intercession for us. And we have something that no other country in the whole wide world has. We have a constitution that they got out of the Bible. We have a lot of things. We have a lot of opportunities. We have a lot of chances. We have more power and more authority than anybody else in the whole world. And most of the church sits around acting like a bunch of whipped pups. We need to stand up. Say, no, we're not taking any more from the devil ever again. We're not going to listen to him. We're not going to do what he says. We're not going to obey him. We're not going to be pushed around. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, there's some three favorite witchcraft tools that the devil uses to work on the church with. It's called manipulation, intimidation, and domination. That's witchcraft. And you, as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, have absolutely no business bowing your knee to intimidation, manipulation, or domination. Ever, never. Ever, never. Now, there's some women that are in some terrible positions. You know, there's some women that are getting beat on, completely mauled around, and the church, sometimes preachers tell them, said, well, you're his wife and you're supposed to be obedient to him. BS. You need to get out of there, find protection. God will protect you. You need to get out of that position. Don't you ever, ever, never let some man beat on you like that, ever. Never. That's not God's will for women. They're not to be beaten on. But see, here's the thing. I think maybe by now you realize that Most of the government is subservient to the devil. If you don't realize that, you need to realize that right now. And their favorite tools is manipulation, intimidation, and domination. They do everything they can do to get you to do what they want you to do. Don't do it. Don't do it. You're not to live your life in fear. You know, even though Joseph got taken from the top, crashed to the bottom, God was still with him. And God caused everything that he did to prosper. He put him back into a position of prominence. Basically, he just changed jobs. You know, and he was okay because God was with him. You know, God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. His hedge of protection is over us all the time. And in fact, the Bible tells us, you know, we can hide under his wings, protected, being in his presence. How we get there? By focusing on him. Focus more on him than on the attack that the devil has for you. You know, the devil is going to throw, this year, the devil is going to throw a lot of stuff our way. Don't look at it as something coming from, you know, don't focus on maybe the devil showing up and doing it to you. Focus on a politician trying to do it to you. A bureaucrat. Well, just call it what it is. They're servants of Satan. They have sold their souls to Satan for money, power, and prestige. And they have a definite job. And that is to persecute us. That is their job. I know they have a little thing that they got to say when they get elected. They got to swear allegiance to this, and they got to say uphold the Constitution. They lie through their teeth. So just know this. God is your protector and your provider. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We will get through this year. Whether they have an election or not, we will get through this year. And we will win. But you've got to stand up, you've got to stand firm, and you've got to be bold. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It doesn't say anything about us being strong in ourselves. It says be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen? Now we're ready? We're ready for this battle. We win. All right. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. We praise you for everything you do for us every day. Father, we thank you that your truth is our shield and buckler, and you've given us the sword of the Spirit, which is your word. You've given us the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. Father, you've given us the sandals of peace. And we thank you, Father, that everywhere we go, you've given us authority. Everywhere the soles of our feet land, you've given it up. Father, we thank you that you've given us authority in the name of Jesus, that we're protected by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb. We've been purified and justified. And Father, everywhere we go, we know that even though we are in this world, we are not of this world. That's why we can boldly say that as he is now, so are we in this world. Father, we are victorious in Christ. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
We have...